This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and hello and thank you to Robbie streaming us at WEEI.com in the office already this morning. And it's only 10 minutes of 7. Early bird gets the worm. So reminder via Robbie that if you cannot listen on the radio, you can stream this show every day at WEEI.com. You can also watch it on YouTube or on Twitch. And this show on Twitch is brought to you by Springer's Jewelers. There are 3 locations you can visit. One in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and the other 2 in Maine, Portland, Maine, and Bath, Maine. Visit springersjewelers.com. This is, before we get to Curtis's lead, this is Walter from Boston. Hey, Walter.
It's like the Patriots spin. Wiggy, you play pro football. Every big receiver, every number one receiver wants the ball. Rice wanted the ball all the time. It doesn't take away from guys winning. It just shows you they don't want to play big money at that position. And Sean, you keep hating on Travis Hunter. When Travis Hunter left high school, he was the number one corner in high school football over Will Johnson and by far. He's really a corner. Wiggy, you're right. I wouldn't draft him as a receiver. If he just concentrated on corner, he's the best corner in this draft. It's like, it just takes away from what he does at corner at receiver. Sean, for some reason, you hate on that team. I think I know what it is, but you guys have a good day.
Why
do I hate Travis Hunter and I love other players
know,
in this draft?
I don't know, because you did this. You did this when he was going for the Heisman. You took away from stuff that he does. Nobody else ever does what he does.
Because I thought what Ashton Gentry was doing was more impressive. He tried to give it to a guy
who's going to have 16 games to break a record that was set in 12, man. Like,
that's great.
On,
what Ashton
like,
Gentry was doing was more impressive to me than what Travis Hunter was doing.
You see all the dudes on NFL Network, he's the best corner in his draft.
Yeah, I think he's the best corner.
I disagree. I don't think he's the best corner in this draft.
He's way better than Will Johnson. When you look at, go back on 3 and show what he shows his stats compared to Will Johnson and all them when he left high school.
Yeah, you want
to
compare stats? That's great. He played for Colorado.
He could play both ways.
Yeah.
The college just wanted him to play corner.
Right.
So I don't draft him as a receiver. I agree with Wiggy, but it's like you got to stop hating on this kid. You blatantly go left on him, man.
Walter, thank you.
Let me just say this. If he is going to be primarily a cornerback, not something you should be doing after your offseason.
Especially in the top five.
It's not at all a need anymore.
No, I know. That's why I said drafting him when you already have 2 corners, it doesn't really, to me, make sense. Is he an elite corner? Yeah, if you watch his ball skills and the way his footwork is, and you watch him play, like, that's his natural position.
Well, mark my words. I am no Tom E. Curran.
Right.
I think Tom E. Curran has suggested that himself.
Right.
But if he is available at number 4,
right,
your New England Patriots are taking him. Those are the whispers that get louder and louder and louder.
And every wide receiver is a diva. Find me a wide receiver who isn't a diva.
Well, that's what Walter started by saying, that this is, when it comes to Tom E. Curran saying yesterday on this radio station, that they didn't want to give Drake May a wide receiver who was difficult. Walter saying that is more spin from the New England
people. Yeah, that is just dumb. Like, I mean, everybody wants and everybody loves and Vrabel coached him, A.J. Brown.
Right.
A.J. Brown is on
But A.J. Brown, the argument would be he's going to come here,
uh-huh.
and he's not going to get the ball enough, and that is going to create a problem for a young the young lad who is Drake May.
Okay, I know this isn't your point, Greg, so I'm not.
Yeah.
This isn't going to you,
yeah.
but did Steph Diggs hurt or help Josh Allen?
Helped immensely.
Helped him.
Kind of a mercurial guy, not exactly,
right.
you know, oh, hi, buddy, let's throw the ball around today.
Well, he helped them until they needed to ship him out of there.
But he served a massively important purpose.
Yep.
He elevated Josh Allen to an elite quarterback status where he now sits and doesn't need him, just like Mahomes yep. doesn't need Tyreek Hill anymore.
All right, Curtis, let's get to your lead. I can't wait for this.
I cannot wait either. So yesterday, the president released 80,000 files of released the remaining files unredacted relating to the assassination of JFK in 1963. And a lot of it, most of it, is just regurgitated stuff now with certain names able to be seen in the light of day. However, two things were of note to me. One, the CIA noted that Lee Harvey Oswald was a bad shot.
A horrible shot.
So, if you're going to have someone in that pressure, in that situation, it would be like Shime from 40 feet nailing a birdie at the PGA Championship. Secondly,
or maybe even trying like a 3-foot putt.
Right.
No disrespect, Shime.
That's
fair. No, three's fine. Three I could do.
Golf. No such thing as a gimme with Shime.
Golf is not your game.
It's better than yours.
It really isn't.
Oof. It is.
You've never proven it to be ever.
I've watched you tee off at like 2 par threes and shank both of them.
So
Chime, you are lying your ass off. Right
I have
now.
Video evidence.
Honestly,
of one of them.
I am
you and your flip flops.
Oh, I'm spooked.
Chime, at times during my life, I've been a low handicapper. How dare
Where was
you?
Was that like 500 years ago?
Under 10.
Like, just to get it back to the lead,
yeah, okay,
Greg, your drive went back and to the left.
Yeah.
The bombshell for me, what seals what I already knew, the CIA assassinated JFK. And the reason I know that, part of the redacted files yesterday, quote, the day after the assassination, Gary Underhill, a CIA agent, left Washington in a hurry. Late in the evening, he showed up at the home of friends in New Jersey. He was very agitated. A small clique within the CIA was responsible for the assassination, he confided, and he was afraid for his life and probably would leave the country. Less than 6 months later, Underhill was found shot to death in his Washington apartment, where the coroner ruled it a suicide. That's it. I don't know who did it.
Why'd they do it? I guess my biggest thing is, what was the
he
main...
He was not malleable.
Okay,
the
so
military industrial complex wanted to go to war in Vietnam,
okay.
and JFK was against. He sought a hard peace, not war, across the world.
Okay,
they were also pissed off about Cuba and the Bay of Pigs and all that stuff. Like they didn't. He wasn't. Curtis is exactly right when he says malleable.
Right.
He, as the president, he wouldn't do
right.
what the CIA wanted right. him to do.
Right.
Exactly.
They wanted him to be like President Bradfo. Is that his name?
Bradford.
Bradford.
Yes. Yeah. Same
on
kind
paradise.
Of thing. Same yeah. kind of thing in paradise. So, Curtis, you believe that we do not, when it comes to Lee Harvey Oswald, we did not get the right guy.
Of course not.
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting. We will take a quick break. I am going to compose myself because it nearly came to blows in here moments ago. I will compose myself during the break. And then we will get to
it's an easy fix.
What?
Don't we have the Numb Nuts Invitational?
We do.
Can't you guys just play against each other?
Nine hole playoff.
Oof. There you go. I mean,
I'm not giving him shots because that's the first thing.
Don't need
him. Shine. You don't need him.
Nope.
Nine hole playoff. What would you guess? What will be the result?
Me by 2 strokes.
It's an easy fix, and we'll have
Shime
a crowd.
Over 1.5, cash it.
Yeah.
And we'll have a crowd there,
yeah.
too.
Yeah,
we will have a crowd there. All right, I'll do that.
Wow.
I will do that. And we're going to need to use carts, or you will have a stroke walking. No offense. You're putting some of the weight back on. I don't know if anybody's told you. I know nobody's honest with you up front, but it's coming right back on.
I think you both look great.
All right, we'll be right back.
Tommy Curran, WEEI Afternoons, discussing Stephon Diggs.
Leaving New England without a contract. I think we had this one right yesterday, Keith.
My guess is he doesn't return to New England with a contract.
How many more visits do you think he gets after this one? I haven't read anything yet, in fairness, but I think this visit was mutually beneficial.
Sure.
Diggs gets his name out there. He's on a visit to New England. Patriots get linked to a wide receiver. People can put their pitchforks away for a day. And I think it was a mutually beneficial visit where they had no real intent on signing the player.
I think they think it's mutually beneficial. I don't think
that
for the Patriots it is that great, because it runs counter to everything you were doing before. It makes us really question why you were out on other guys like DK Metcalf, or trading a late round pick for Cooper Kupp, or what was wrong with Deebo Samuel for a fifth. Like, all these other guys you were out on, you're explaining it away. It's like, well, we need to start over. We need like a lot of good guys. You're like, I don't love it, but okay, that's your plan. Now it's like, here's Steph Diggs, who is like kind of, you know, burned bridges the last couple teams he's been on. So you're like, all right, you're bringing him in now, and then you're not going to get him. So then it's like, all right, you need a receiver and you don't get him. Whereas Steph Diggs, great, he does a visit. Maybe he gets another visit or two, then signs with that next team and, you know, gets either the Hopkins contract or a little bit better than that, and everybody moves on with their day. But for the Patriots, they might think it looks good, but I don't think fans are like, oh, phew, talk to Diggs.
But so that's what I mean. Right. I don't know how it's going to play with fans. I think it makes them look like total frauds, but in their mind, I think they view it as mutually beneficial.
Yes.
But they also viewed the dynasty as a good idea.
Well, That one got away from him.
Kraft thought that press conference last week was a good idea. So, like, I don't think their decision-making is always
He did get Morgan Moses holding his jersey up, though, so that was pretty good.
He did.
Those things are going to be flying off the shelves at the pro shop.
I don't think their decision-making is always sound, but I think that's how they viewed it. It's mutually beneficial
to
bring in Steph Diggs. And what do you mean we weren't interested in any receivers? We had Steph Diggs visit. I think that's how they look at it.
We made Chris Godwin an offer, and we talked to Steph Diggs.
Exactly.
Great. You ended up with Mac Hollins. So the receiver thing has been a bit of a mess so far.
It has been.
Which circles back to what we were talking about with why I think a lot of people are connecting Travis Hunter to them. It's because they've missed on all these. They've either had no interest for some reason, or the ones they have had interest in, they haven't been able to get. So that's why they're like, well, they got to get somebody, right?
Yeah. Text line is taking exception with a couple of things. Number one, they said Noah, this guy has sent a lot of texts, and it's a long explanation, so I'm not going to read them all. But one guy is adamant that no team will draft Travis Hunter in the top 10 unless they're playing him on both sides of the football. They won't do it to play him on one side of the ball.
So
do you agree with that?
I don't. I think I'm really hopeful, and because he did it to like such a high level and played so many snaps, I feel like teams will at least give him an opportunity to do it. But if you just said he's a corner, I think he'd be worth the top 10 pick.
Me too.
Right? He's probably the first or maybe the second best corner at worst in the draft. That's a premium position. And in this draft in particular, I think that would get you in the top 10.
Yeah. So I think he's worth the top 10 pick. So I disagree with that. Yep. But I see you, sir. You're very adamant.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I will agree to disagree.
Okay.
The other thing is, Jones, please go ahead and try to explain why you don't like Hunter as a wide receiver. Better numbers than Tet, while playing full-time on defense, too. His numbers were very good. And I think he can be certainly a jump ball guy who you can target because of his athleticism. He's not the biggest receiver, but I think you can target him, and you know he's athletic enough to make jump ball catches in the end zone. You can target him that way. I also think he's a great and exceptional run-after-catch guy.
That's what I think is what separates him.
Because his runaway speed, and you could see that on film in college. Just watching him at Colorado, you could see that. He has breakaway speed. His run after the catch is spectacular. But is that more gadget receipt? Like, is he a polished route runner? Can he get open? Or is he just a guy you swing the pass out to, and you expect him to make a bunch of guys miss and take it to the house all the time? Like, that's not the kind of receiver I want in the top five.
But that's also why, like, Andy's a corner. I think for this team right now, I don't know if they have a guy on the team, barring, like, just horrible tackling, that you can throw the ball a five-yard pass, he's going to take it to the house. That's not Pop Douglas's game. That's not Kayshon Booty's game. No, Jalen Polk won't even catch it.
The best guy on the team is probably Marcus Jones with that.
Yeah, seriously, it probably is. So I feel like with Travis Hunter, you're talking about, like, how do you make Drake May look a little bit better? Like, that's one thing. Like, Bo Nix, as much as I like him, he did have a lot of that last year where he'd throw it out there and then the receivers would make plays for him. And then you're like, oh, nice 60-yard pass. You're like, well, he threw it 10 yards. You're like, fine.
Right.
He did a lot at Oregon, right? Yep. Did a ton of it at Oregon. But I think Drake May needs all the help he can get. And Travis Hunter is a guy that can make you, the quarterback, look a lot better.
So I believe in Travis Hunter as a prospect, more as a corner than a wide receiver.
Yeah.
I was just answering why I would nitpick him as a receiver. I didn't see a lot of route running at Colorado.
And the fact that Shedeur Sanders threw the ball more than anybody in college football last year because they didn't run the ball. So he got way more opportunity to catch the ball.
Yeah. I think if anybody out of the two is overrated, it's Shedeur Sanders, not Travis Hunter.
Right. Who benefited more from the other?
I think Travis Hunter helped almost... Now, he plays differently, but like Mike Evans and Johnny Manziel. Like, I think it was one of those type of things.
Yeah.
Like, he got the ball a lot. He did a lot with the ball.
You don't like Shedeur?
Not really.
Interesting.
I'm lower on Shedeur Sanders.
I also really like Johnny Football on that draft, so maybe I'm not the best.
So I like Johnny Football, too, but then I think we were all proven, like, oh, wait, the receiver can make him. Like, you know, T.O. with Jeff Garcia. Like, who made who? Like, I think it's pretty clear.
Jeff Garcia. Nice career.
Yeah, I think he was a two-time Pro Bowler because of Terrell Owens.
Did he not go anywhere else and play well? Was he only good in San Francisco?
But yeah. I think so. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
You're going to look that up?
I was about to.
He played for the Dolphins for a hiccup?
I thought he played for the Eagles maybe for a minute.
That sounds right. Was he bad there?
I don't know. Did he also have T.O.?
You know what? You got me there.
But also, going back to the Travis Hunter thing, what stats was Travis Hunter better in outside of just touchdown catches?
I don't know. I was taking the text line
more
for it.
I don't even know.
I also don't really care about... I mean, you want some numbers in college, but I don't... I'm not a slave to the college stats. I'm not.
No, he was...
You know who had horrible college numbers and is awesome in the NFL? Lab McConkey. Like, terrible. Like, 700 yards a year at Georgia.
Yeah, but he was awesome in the playoff.
Yeah, true.
He only was good with the...
I'm sorry, I was just looking that up.
So he made like a...
He was the comeback player of the year in Philadelphia.
Yeah, and he made a lame Pro Bowl at Tampa Bay where in 13 games he had 13 touchdown passes. So I'm not counting that.
NFC year.
He was made by T.O. That's fine. It happens.
That does happen. Yeah. It happened with him. Good point. Real quick on Steph Diggs, and then we'll get to some phone calls. Jordan Schultz did have this yesterday.
Trying to fight anybody?
Son of Howard Schultz.
Did he confront any other media members?
Starbucks CEO.
Yep.
Gave a swirly to Ian Rapoport.
Uh-huh.
The Patriots' visit with wide receiver Stephon Diggs has ended. And while there is no deal in place as of now, both sides intend to remain in contact.
For sure. You have my number? Yeah, we got your number. Yeah, for sure.
It's a fake number.
You'll hear back from us.
Do not answer.
Yeah, it's been a couple days. Haven't heard.
Patriots in his phone as don't answer. As it was described to me, Jordan Schultz, this was a more of a get to know you and where you're at medically type of meeting.
Yeah, they for sure don't know Steph Diggs. Hasn't been in the league for 10 years. Didn't play in the division for a while.
I buy that less. I buy the medical thing, though.
Just sniff around the knee a little bit.
The medical thing with him is legit, though.
I know. He's coming off a torn ACL.
But he'll come back.
Yeah.
What's he going to look like at 32, and when is he going to play? I'm not saying the guy will never play again. Guys come back from ACLs all the time.
You think they got that little knee hammer out, and they're like, hey, you sit here, just
what are
your
reflexes
like? He's like, ah! He's like, it's not healed yet. Slam it with that?
Another surgery.
Yeah, maybe.
So, yeah, I don't. If he's not ready week one, I don't have a high level of interest.
Just
in
getting
Stephon
good intel
Diggs.
On Steph Diggs.
Yeah.
Right.
Guys, I'll be in touch. Don't worry about it.
617-779-7937.
Barry's in New Bedford. Go ahead, Barry.
Hey, guys. I'm the only guy in this draft who is a true impact guy first day he steps on the field is Abdul Carter, because you know you're going to get 10 sacks out of that guy because he's that good. Hunter is kind of confusing because while he plays receiver, he's raw as a route runner. He's not fast, Jones. He's quicker than fast. He has a great first step to get leverage on guys. We know about his hands and everything. As a corner, he's probably a better prospect now. The Patriots, if you're smart, if it drops down to 4, you sell the pick. I don't want Big Shorty, Will Campbell. I don't want a guy with short arms. You can't get the quarterback killed. I mean, there's a history of this. So you trade back and you acquire more picks. And then this is what the only shot they really have here, because if Carter's gone, I'm not going to take Travis Hunter because – Hunter's fine. He's a great athlete. He may be an impact player. A couple of years from now, this is not a Jamar Chase or a Justin Jefferson you're getting where that guy steps on the field. And that's 1,000 yards right there, and Drake May's got his number one for the next 5 years.
Okay, so Barry, even if he's a good prospect in 3 years, I think he's worth drafting.
Yeah, this team, like if they had Justin Jefferson next year, which would be great, like what are they, winning the Super Bowl?
Right.
Like I think they're a little bit of a work in progress.
And also, I agree. I don't think it's a bad draft. This is a bad draft.
Yeah, but I also think like Ashton Jeanty or Ty Warren might be good right away.
Good point.
It might be impactful.
When he talks about impact,
I don't think it's just Abdul Carter.
No, true. I also think he has it wrong at the fourth pick. I mean, you can trade down and maybe somebody would move up the board to take Travis Hunter. I'm not saying that wouldn't happen. But I think if you're hoping to mortgage that pick, you want a quarterback on the clock there, don't you? Like, you brought this up before.
Yeah, you get more if a team loves Shedeur Sanders and he's available at four than anybody else.
Correct.
At four. Yeah.
Like, you'll, like, that, if you want to sell the pick for the most,
yeah.
It's not a bidding war for Travis Hunter. It's a bidding war for a quarterback.
Right.
Is what you want. Why do you prefer Hunter to Abdul Carter? If they were both available at four, or if I was hoping for one to drop to four, I would prefer Carter. Why do you prefer Hunter?
I love the versatility of playing both. Like, it's two premium positions. We were talking about, you know, the most important positions in football, and after quarterback, there's like four, and this guy plays two of them. So, and I want to see him play as many snaps on both sides of the ball as possible. I think Abdul Carter could certainly be good, and I would take him way before I would take Will Campbell. Like, that's the only other guy I would take over best toss available would be Abdul Carter. But I'm hoping that Terrell Williams and Mike Vrabel and the current defensive line they have are going to be able to generate enough of a pass rush where you can then go out and get somebody like Travis Hunter who can help your quarterback, which Abdul Carter is not helping your quarterback.
If the Patriots are, it sounds like they're drafting for need.
Well, they have a lot of needs.
Hunter is a bigger need at wide receiver.
Yeah.
Than Abdul Carter is on the D-line. So that would be consistent with at least what it seems like they're getting ready to do. Ryan is in Manchester. Hello, Ryan.
What's up, guys? I feel a little bit on the sellers here. I feel a little bit about bad for Wick. Yeah, I started thinking about it a little bit today. I feel like he might be the real-life Billy Madison, and the party's over. But people are missing the mark on this. And you go back to Vrabel, who he is as a coach, the DNA of how he makes up his teams, what he said at his introductory press conference. This is not a team that's going to throw the ball, I think he said, 40 times a game. That's not how they're going to win football games. They're going to play defense, or they're going to run the ball. And I'm absolutely convinced at this point, I didn't like it at first, they're drafting that Aston Genty. He wants a Derrick Henry-esque ball control playing defense. And if you start to think about it, it makes a ton of sense. They say he's the best prospect in the last 5-7 years of running back. It helps Drake May out. These guys are not winning right away. You can't think of this as, you know, this is a long-term thing. And if you look how the Colts back in the day kind of grew their team with Manning, and they got Edgerrin James. And this is a process. It's going to be a rebuild, and Genty might actually be a great pick. What do you guys think?
Okay. If Hunter and Carter are gone and the Patriots are on the clock at four, I would have zero problem taking Genty. Now, ideally, you move down and you get a few more assets, and maybe it's Shedeur Sanders, maybe it's Hunter, or somebody people are moving up. Or I guess if Hunter was on the clock, I would want that. So maybe it's Shedeur Sanders, you trade down, you get Genty at six, and you get an extra draft pick. I would rather that. But if you're stuck at four and Hunter and Carter are gone, I'd love Ashton Genty.
Yeah, I would too. I would think that's a spot where maybe you can get more if you move down and still get the guy. Like, really, anybody besides Carter or Hunter, I think you could get lower. But you also don't want to get too cute, right? And we've killed Bill for that before.
Yeah.
So, like, if you just take Genty there, I guess I'd sign up for it. Now, the one thing, too, is when Mike Vrabel's teams are at their best, now they have Derrick Henry, but they had A.J. Brown, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they did have a true number one receiver. I get what he's saying about he made it pretty clear, like, we're not just going to chuck it all around. And clearly, by going out and getting somebody like Milton Williams, like, they want to win up front on both sides. But it does help the whole offense when you have a true number one. I think he does value that still.
I think
he values it more than, like, Belichick did.
Oh, I totally agree with that. But remember how they got A.J. Brown? He was a second-round pick.
Yep.
So if you're talking, and look, he inherited Derrick Henry, so it's not like he took Derrick Henry at four.
No, he did not. In fact, he thought Deion Lewis was better early on in that season.
Right.
So
Henry was a second-round pick? What was he?
Derrick Henry was also a second-round pick, yeah.
Yeah, so he also might believe that we can find our next A.J. Brown in round two. That's where we found the first one. We can find him in round two. But I agree with you. He definitely values wide receiver more than Belichick, and he might value it more than we realize. I wonder if he has a point, though, about emphasizing the running game, and they don't have the personnel to do that right now.
Do you think the Eagles are sort of an anomaly? Because if you look at the teams that struggled to pass last year, and I know sometimes overall stats can be a little misleading because bad teams have to throw a lot at the end of games, but the Patriots were the worst passing team in the league last year. The Bears, the Panthers, they were all in the bottom. But so were the Eagles. The Eagles didn't throw for a lot, but they had Saquon freaking Barkley, who had a 2,000-yard rushing season, and they had a good running quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, unless you're going to that, like, are you willing to, like, open it up and have Drake May run for that much? And do you really trust one of your running backs to have that kind of production? I know it's a copycat league. I think they're, in that regard, a little bit of a outlier. I think you might be better off kind of throwing it around. Like, Detroit, I know ultimately didn't get there, but Detroit, Tampa Bay, Minnesota, Baltimore, Buffalo, the Rams, those are teams that were sort of towards the top of the league in passing. And I think that I know they weren't the team that ultimately won it, right? So, like, you could easily throw that in my face and be like, well, the Eagles ran it and they won. But I don't know. Like, it's pretty unique personnel to have Saquon Barkley and Jalen Hurts.
No. And
their whole offensive line, for God's sakes.
Drake May is not Jalen Hurts. Yeah. I would turn him loose, though, running.
Scoot him a little bit more.
Like, I'm not afraid of that. I know some fans are afraid of that. You know, I've heard, is it Andy or Ted? Somebody on Afternoons has said, maybe it's more Hart, that, you know, you got to protect him. You can't run him so much. He needs to be able to throw.
Well, Alex Van Pelt last year with us, didn't he say he's like the most important thing is protecting Drake May?
Exactly.
And you're like, okay.
So
what about winning?
part of why I like Drake May as a prospect is because of the athleticism and the ability to run.
Yeah.
And I would turn him loose. I mean, he's not Jalen Hurts, but I would turn him loose. I would. I wonder if Vrabel will. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
Vrabel, I mean, they had Tannehill, so there wasn't really much of an opportunity to do that. Did he have Mariota before that?
He did.
How much did Mariota run with?
I think a decent amount, but that's also more Mariota's game, isn't it? Like, I think you have Mariota so you will run. Or, I mean, like, if you're using him, he was drafted as a real dual threat kind of guy.
What was Vrabel's first year? 18?
2018? It was, that sounds right.
He was there, and hang on, 2018 was the first year.
2018 took over. Mariota was the starter that year. They went 9-7. Coming off a 9-7 team. And what did Mariota run for? You see it?
I'm pulling that up right now.
Stats and info department would tell you he ran for 357 yards.
Yeah, that's low. I mean, different.
But he ran 64 times.
Yeah, that's low.
14 games. Deion Lewis had 155 carries. Derrick Henry, 215. So.
Well, that's true. How much would you run Mariota if you have Derrick Henry?
I was going to say, you got Derrick Henry, and you finally figured out you had Derrick Henry. So that was, he had a 1,000-yard year that year.
Huh. Okay, that's not encouraging about turning Drake May loose, I would say, because to me, Mariota and Drake May, that's pretty similar athleticism.
Yeah.
Drake May is not Jalen Hurts. He might be closer to Mariota. That's a little disconcerting, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 617-779-7937. Will is in Massachusetts. Go ahead, Will.
How's it going? I just want to talk about the Diggs interview.
Yeah.
What a great move that would be. That guy's an absolute dog. We need someone like that in the locker room. He's got a good rep with the ladies. We need something like that in New England.
Okay. That's true, he does.
He's got a good rep with the ladies.
Cardi B?
Bad rep with his teammates. Some sisters.
Well, yeah, that's true. They did not.
What was it again?
And his health.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got a bum knee. He's got a bum knee right now, but that's all right. No, you and I, you're preaching to the choir on this. You and I want Steph Diggs. We just don't think they're going to actually sign him.
Well,
you don't want him, but like if it's him or nothing, you would take him. Okay,
exactly.
So maybe all right, I want him, you would take him.
And my fear has nothing to do with he's a diva and he's going to demand targets. That has nothing to do with it. It's about his health. Like that's 100% it for me. And to I guess to a lesser degree, his age, like that combination.
Do you think he has more left in the tank than Torrey Holt and Reggie Wayne and guys like that when they got him?
Yes.
Okay, but.
But when
it's closer to that,
is he going to play week 6? Like, when's he coming back? Is my point.
Well, so, that's why they were poking around the knee yesterday.
I agree. But if you're asking me what my real fear is with Diggs, it's that. But if you told me Diggs was going to be back week 1 and he was going to be in Drake May's face demanding targets, I'd be like, yeah, sure, go get him. I'm on board with that.
Get them targets.
Yeah. I don't care. I don't care about a receiver demanding targets. That does not bother me.
Well, I do if it's somebody like Jalen Polk.
Well, good point. A good receiver demanding targets.
Yeah, there we go.
But yeah, I mean, at some point, there's diminishing returns on that. If it's in the middle of a playoff game and the guy's airing out your quarterback and there's a bad relationship there, well then, okay, come talk to me. But on a crummy team like this, I am not afraid of a diva wide receiver. 617-779-7937. He's got that dog in him, Keith.
He sure does.
And a good reputation with the ladies.
Yes, he does. That would be amazing, though, if you had Cardi B and Megan.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say that.
And the same,
a good reputation with the ladies would be amazing. I was like, yeah, that would be nice.
No, that'd be nice. Ship has sailed, Jones. I'm not really worried about that for myself anymore, but I'm just saying for the city. That would really kick it up a notch.
Yeah.
You had Cardi B at all the games?
Yeah, all of a sudden, Boston. What a place.
Awesome.
Cardi B, Megan Thee Stallion.
Do you think
it can be the ring bell, ringer?
Yes,
it is.
The lighthouse.
Yeah, the lighthouse.
Cardi B.
Oh, great call.
In the lighthouse.
Tremendous call.
And then CBS cuts to Robert and Jonathan and Cardi B in the owner's box. Great.
617-779-7937. We have two matchups for you available right now in the Jones and Keith bracket. We're on to the Sweet 16.
Yes.
How about that? We have not a ton of upsets in the football region. So we have a 1-4 matchup in the Sweet 16 in the football region. The Chargers, their Powder Blues against the Oilers. They're, what were you calling it earlier? Sky blue?
Sky blue.
Not to call everything powder blue.
Not a robin's egg blue?
Yeah. So that matchup is available at Jones and Keith.
Don't forget, they got the oil derrick on the helmet.
Oh, it's a yeah,
big old oil derrick.
We never tell anybody how to vote.
Influencing the vote.
But
I'm just pointing out what it is.
Don't forget about the oil derrick is all we're saying.
It's not just the jersey and the pants. It's also the helmet or the hats.
Yeah, those two.
Baseball. Yeah,
very important.
Yep.
Speaking of baseball, the baseball region, it is the Expos versus the Red Sox in the baseball region.
This will be telling. This will be really telling.
Yeah, the voting, it's telling all right so far.
What are you guys doing? Not what team do you like more? What uniform do you like more?
Outrageous.
Again, not that we would ever tell you how to vote.
No, but come on.
Just don't vote for the Boston teams.
Or stop voting for them. I think they've gotten as far as they should. Maybe with the exception of Pat Patriot.
Yeah, Patriot can keep cooking. Red Sox, Bruins, Celtics, this is your time. But again, we would never tell you how to vote. At Jones and Keefe on Twitter. You can see the full bracket on
Instagram.
Andre
the Hawk Dawson and Tim Rock Reigns in that photo. Nice one, Bill.
Nice. Real nice. So you can vote there. We'll update the full bracket coming your way.
A couple of Hall of Famers in
at 11:45. And coming up next to Friday, which means we have a four-pack of questions right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Back here at WEEI Afternoons on a Thursday afternoon at 3:30. That means it's time for Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Tommy Curran brought to you by Drains by James. It's Eastern Mass's leader in residential and commercial drain cleaning and pipelining at drainsbyjames.com. At Drains by James, they give a poop about your pipes. Tom Curran, how we doing this first day of spring?
Good, really good. It's kind of warm out there. You know, it's almost a humid warmth out there. You guys have been in there for a couple hours, but, you know, it's a nice humid warmth out there, Ted.
You know what that means, what TC's doing.
Yep.
Swinging the old golf club.
He's in the are you doing this from the simulator, Tom?
No, I'm actually doing work today, but I might, soon after, I might toddle over to the golf club.
Hit a couple
balls. I think I might work on some... I want to get better from 10 feet and in.
It's the hardest thing in the world. 15 feet and in is a nightmare.
I find all of it hard.
Do you know the tour pros only make 50% of their 8-foot putts?
I did not know
I
that.
I did not.
Yeah, a little known fact.
There you go.
So, but the thing is, we all, or at least Ted, I know, and the other kids here, there's some of us who 3-putt from 8 feet, and they would never do that. Mm-hmm. They would never, ever do that.
That's true.
There's nothing better, Tom, than having a par three on in two, in and five. It's the best.
Live that life many times.
Tom, I'm not going to ask you about the yellow jacket that the Twitch chatters want me to ask you about. We're going to skip right over that.
Loved it.
And we're going to go
yellow
to...
Yellow makes me happy.
There you go.
Yellow makes me happy.
I did laugh at
all
the
all right,
memes.
Lovey, very good.
There were a few memes on the internet that compared you to the...
Thurston Howell III?
No, the guy from the monkey cartoon.
Curious
George.
The guy in the yellow hat.
Oh, yeah, the guy in the yellow hat. He's the man in the yellow jacket.
Man in the yellow jacket. So man in yellow jacket, give me the answer to this. After a few weeks or a couple weeks here of everybody saying the Patriots prioritize culture and they don't want to surround Drake May with anybody that might make his life a little bit difficult in year two, they're hosting Stephon Diggs, who's a known thorn in the side of quarterbacks. Can you explain the Stephon Diggs situation to me?
Sure. And I think we all experience this. There's hopes of what will unfold. And then there's things you're willing to tolerate. I think that in the case of a Diggs, it's probably where you would say, well, we didn't get our Eagle Scout. And this is not to contrive, you know, Stephon Diggs to be the second coming of Ray Caruth. I mean, right. You know, the guy is a pain in the ass in multiple places. So you have to decide, okay, is it better to have nobody at all and walk into the season with Kayshon Booty, Jalen Polk, Javon Baker, and Kendrick Bourne as the top of our outside receiver group? Or is it better for us to go ahead and try and address it with someone and keep our fingers crossed? So to me, it's a sliding scale of what you're willing to tolerate from a player and the production that he'll give you. If Diggs was making $24 million a year and you anticipated he would be a pain in the posterior, you might say, we can't pay somebody that kind of money and have him be a detriment. If it's less, then maybe you can do it. You know there's no simple black and white conversations on all of this.
Tom, so we were then wondering,
if it what like exactly how you get a guy like Diggs in there. Like some believe it may just be the Patriots wanting to answer to the fans. Oh, you know, look, we kicked the tires on a number one guy, and Diggs is right.
He's laughing at you.
I know he's not laughing at me. He's laughing at the.
I'm not laughing at him. I just think people
kowtowing to the fans, basically.
Hey, let's get a plane ticket for Stephon Diggs so that the guy in Bill Ricka who's pissed off feels better today.
Yeah, and then we got to he's going to pay his own way at Davio's and all that. Right, it's nuts. And, you know, could Diggs trying to be fluff up his market? But then Andy and I were wondering, like, is there a chance the Patriots are afraid that Drake May is either too nice, too deferential, or potentially a little too soft such that any wide receiver prone to histrionics or diva-like behavior could influence him in a negative way or suppress his growth?
I don't think so. I don't think that they think that. I think you just want to create the best possible atmosphere around a player. And they certainly didn't have that last year, and the kid weathered the storm pretty well. I mean, he had pains in the ass all over the offense. I mean, so to me, I look at it, I think people are making it more complicated than necessary. Did the Patriots want to have the best teammates possible for Drake May, who would nod and say, whatever you say, Drake, and here's the things that I can do on this play for you, Drake, and maybe if you try it this way, Drake? Yes, they wanted to do that. But now, with $92 million still in cap money, I mean, they have $30 million ahead of everybody else. They still don't have a wideout. They still don't have a left tackle. They have to say, well, what are we going to do? Stand here and try and get every single guy nominated for the Walter Payton Man of the Year? Or are we going to try and just win some games? And if the guy's a pain in the ass, we'll tell him he's being a pain in the ass. I think they're having Josh McDaniels on the offensive side of the ball. And Doug Marone, I would think, too, Teddy, would be helpful. I mean, those are big personalities who've been head coaches. I think it can help.
Oh, no, that's a good point. That definitely would help. I'm curious, Tom, what you think about, you know, David Andrews being released, a lot of fallout from that, a lot of people critical of that decision. But the Patriots signed a couple days ago the former center for the Vikings, Garrett Bradbury. Your thoughts on just them feeling like they needed to upgrade at that position with that particular player?
When you look at his metrics from last year, according to Pro Football Focus, he let up a lot of heat on the inside, let up a lot of pressures. But they wanted to get younger, and in doing so, I think they made a commitment to getting younger and healthier and more dependable at the position. They chased Drew Dahlman. There was another center they chased as well that they didn't land. But really with David, I think they looked at the situation and said, would it be fair to him to go chase Drew Dahlman or Garrett Bradbury or any other center and let this 8-year veteran or longer than that, veteran, eight-year captain.
Yeah, 10 years, yep.
But find out that we're chasing other guys to put into his spot. So they made that decision. But I think that just as with Stephon Diggs, he's not Chris Godwin. Garrett Bradbury is not Drew Dahlman. So they're settling in positions and pivoting away from spots that, you know, they didn't get the guy necessarily who was their first choice, which is, as Vrabel pointed out, it's going to be a fact of life when all 32 teams are chasing a small pool of candidates.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons, as he does every Thursday. Tom, the Joe yes. Milton trade speculation, rumors, reports, where do we think that's at? Do you think there is a chance they do move Joe Milton this offseason? And if so, why? Is it just value-based, or is it Ted's theory that maybe he puts unnecessary stress and pressure on Drake May?
I definitely think there's a chance they move him, A. B, if Drake May is looking at, and I'm not discounting Ted's theory, but if Drake May is looking at Joe Milton as somebody who's about to swoop in and take his job, then he does not have the mental fortitude that I think he does. And I do think he has that kind of mental fortitude. He's got to be able to look at Joe Milton and say, I'm a better player than him. I'm more decisive. I actually move more quickly. I'm smoother in the pocket. And I'm only basing Joe Milton. God, who knows how he would have looked after 13 starts. But I think the Patriots would move him because they could get a pick that's in excess of the sixth rounder they spent on him. It was a really interesting theory from Phil today when we did the podcast with Brian Hoyer and talked about this possibility. Phil said that he had someone in the league mentioned to him that it might be hard to get a third for Joe Milton simply based on the fact that every single GM in the league passed on him in the first through fifth rounds last year. And then a year later, they're going to go, yeah, we're going to give up a third for this guy. Yeah, we all screwed up. Sorry, Mr. Owner. It's really interesting when you think of that level of, you know, because they're probably still hardwired to say, yeah, he's not that good.
You know, Tom, I just want to follow up on this real quick, buddy, because, I mean, I heard what Brian Hoyer said about Joe Milton. And just to remind people, I mean, Hoyer thinks that he would be the first quarterback taken in this year's draft. I unfortunately didn't get to listen long enough to know what your response was to that. Just your thoughts to Brian Hoyer saying he thinks Joe Milton would have been the first quarterback taken in this year's draft if he came out this year.
I don't think it's a fair fight. I don't think it's a fair comparison. Because you have a guy who's done it as a profession for a calendar year against guys who've not done it. The better comp would be, tell me where Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Jalen Milroe are in a year's time and whether or not you would trade Joe Milton for any of those guys.
Gotcha.
So to me, when you're doing it as a pro, and I get his point, absolutely, but would Joe Milton, as he was at Tennessee, take away what happened in 2024 for the entire year? Would Joe Milton still be a sixth-round pick if he was in this draft? Maybe. And also, did everybody miss on Joe Milton, or did he improve? And I definitely think he improved. You know, history will show that Alex Van Pelt didn't do a great job with the Patriots, but history should also deep down remember that he did a tremendous job with developing Milton and May in particular.
So, Tom, the last hot button issue we didn't touch on. We're getting later in the process here. My guy Will Campbell still has short arms and small hands, and
hasn't changed.
Would
metrics.
Never be drafted by Ted Johnson. Where are they going to get a left tackle who makes everybody feel good about the line and the offense and the chances this season?
Second round.
Ooh. Take the Ursary kid.
Just the way, the kid from Oregon, too, I think it was Connerly. Phil had mentioned yesterday, and he did a pod, and I lean on Phil because he's tremendous. He did one of his 38 mock drafts, and in this one, it's Travis Hunter at 4 because two quarterbacks go in the top 4, which is what is seeming to be the case. The Giants, Titans, and Browns are all in the market. You could get 2 out of 3. Next thing you know, you're standing there with Travis Hunter in front of you. If that's the case, do you hold your breath, cross your fingers, and probably take the guy who can score touchdowns, even though he's never been a devoted offensive player, and then hope that he'll be happy to play offense for you, and hope that he'll be quick on the uptake and be able to play over there for you. And then you worry about left tackle later on. I hate it. I loathe it. I think the Patriots have been held hostage by that position for so long. It should have been fixed last year, but Elliot Wolf was unable to do it. But I still would probably say, you know, you have to take Hunter there at 4 and then figure out a way to get back up and get a Membu, a Josh Simmons, a Connerly, or even a Will Campbell be sitting there. God knows, he might be sitting there till 16 with those stubby little arms.
Stubby little arms. Well, then go get your boy Myers. We need to bring your guy Myers back then, Tom.
Agree.
All right, Tom, we won't hold you up any longer. I know you want to get to the golf course and hitting
some putts in.
Yeah. All right, good luck with those. The short game, I hope it works out for you. We'll talk to you. Actually, I don't know if we'll talk to you next week. It's opening day next Thursday, so we might need to touch base on that. But good luck on the golf course.
All right, buddy boy.
See ya. Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, with everything you needed to know about the New England Patriots right now on a Thursday afternoon. Up next, we're going to revisit a couple of his comments and thoughts because I like that he challenged Ted Johnson's theory a little bit on Drake May. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
It is a Bruins Thursday. Mike Milbury coming up on this show in half an hour, and then We are on our way out to Wachusett Mountain for a snow show tomorrow morning from 6 until 10.
And Greg, if I may, quick correction. I said Red Sox game at 1:05 today. Ken's going to kill me. It's at 6:05. I suck today, and I know that, because I'm just looking forward to tonight.
Oh.
I can't even think about the show today, okay, because this evening is where my head's at.
I see. Okay.
I shouldn't do that. That's on me. Well, but I love a road show, a snow show, being able to be out with the people, hugs, kisses, on the cheek.
Yes.
Kisses.
You embrace it.
Yeah.
And it is, we're going to be at the Copper Top Lounge from 5 until 7 watching basketball with you, and cannot wait to see you tonight. I mentioned earlier that the amazing Ashley from the Greg Hill Foundation will be there with the remaining snow show merch from this snow show season. So get yourself a hat and hang out, and we can't wait to see you.
And
yes,
DC's it had a good point in Twitch, and I want all of you guys to know it. Don't let your night job affect your day job.
Oh, correct. Wiggy, did you hear
something
that?
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that before.
We should live by that.
Mm-hmm. Wiggy never lets it. Like, Wiggy can go out till 11, 12, whatever. I don't know if have you scoped out any of the hot spots out in Princeton for the post game tonight?
No, I don't know. I don't really know anything about.
You could travel over to the Twin Cities, Lemonster and Fitchburg, and maybe
that's where it's near.
Taking some nightlife over there, maybe.
I had no idea. Like, I've heard of Wachusett's ski resort before, but I didn't really know where it was or what it was next to.
Yeah. Best jingle in the game.
So it's near Fitchburg. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. I had no clue where it was.
Yes. Yeah. Well, now you know.
You didn't know where it was, but you told me that it was going to take me an hour to get there.
No, because he said it's west. I MapQuested it.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah. So I MapQuested it yesterday.
MapQuested it?
Or
he's used that in about 15 years.
Why am I ridiculed for my age?
Right.
Well, when maybe somebody who plays the lottery their numbers every day is MapQuested.
Great. Boomer. Wiggy's like, I binged it.
Or whatever you call it. I Google mapped it. Yeah. I Wazed it. I use Waze a lot. And then when I use Waze, I can do like leaving at a later date and later time, and it tells me how long it would take. So when you said that, but I had no idea where it was in Massachusetts.
I feel like my dad's darkest day was when you didn't need MapQuest anymore, because nobody loved giving directions more than my dad.
Yeah.
Like, that generation lived on the printout. When you see when you see the forest, make a left.
Yeah. It is wild to think that that's the way we got directions.
Yeah.
Like a giant printed sheet of paper that told you to take a right at the second stop sign.
Right.
So,
remember, before MapQuest, Greg, and when we just only were able to use maps, because MapQuest would tell you what to do. Uh-huh. Step 1, 2, 3, 4. But before that, it was just maps, so you had to figure it out on your own.
Well, you had a giant map that you would unfold.
Yep.
And the case of... is this Ask a Boomer? I guess it
yes.
is. When we would go on a trip as a family, my old man would have my mother, Susan Hill, in the front seat trying to operate the map while he was trying to drive.
Right.
It would lead to constant arguments.
Would you highlight the route?
No. You just you look it up and you say, I'm going to take this road and then I'm going to turn off here. And then you have to look and see where the road... But it's like everything else. Technology has made it so you don't have to think anymore.
Right.
Like, you don't. Nobody's required to do anything.
Right.
That's why boomers all know what highway you're on.
Yeah.
Right.
I never know the highway.
That's why.
If you get to the Tappan Zee, you've gone too far.
And that's why MapQuest was a game changer at
the time.
That's
why you still use it.
Well, it's Google Map. And I was trying to say.
Wiggy told me MapQuest says it's going to take him 2 hours by horse and buggy tonight.
But Wiggy said, Ted, can I have some quarters for the toll?
But Courtney, MapQuest was a game changer because then you didn't have to figure it out on the map. It actually told you, number one, at specific light on specific street, you make a right.
Yeah.
Just basically like how your GPS does.
But Greg, the other thing that the next generation will never understand is my dad leaving at 6:50, getting out of the driveway, driving down, and he forgets something. And you literally are powerless. You have to call the office, and then he gets there in an hour and a half. Like, the notion of being unable to communicate with someone for 90 minutes while they're in traffic is so foreign.
That was the best segment ever that you did.
What?
The
Ask a Boomer?
The Boomer Challenge with Courtney.
Oh, when she had to identify boomer objects that boomers would use?
Yeah, that was
that was a long time ago.
That was when I first started. Yeah.
That was so fun. Yeah.
This is George from Warwick, Rhode Island. Hello, George.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I hope my care package arrived okay. And it was well enjoyed. I think there was a little something in there for Shime for a Pokemon little care package.
Oh, yes. Yes. Got it yesterday. What did you get?
I think George is the one that sent in like the popcorns and the little treats. He also sent me Pokemon cards.
Oh.
So shout out to George and his buddies.
Oh, very nice.
At the card store in Rhode Island. So
correction.
Yeah, that was over at Baseball Cards of Rhode Island and in East Greenwich here. But hey, as quick aside, I heard the Curtis or somebody talking about the David Andrews YouTube video.
Yeah.
That was a little bit misleading. He had not committed to coming back. He talked about the possibility of coming back and that he'd have a chance to see what he could do inside of camp. So I think that context is a little off.
Well, he used the word fired. I mean,
right.
Absolutely, he got fired. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Fired, but he thought he'd get the chance. He didn't know if he could physically perform. He hoped he had a chance in camp to see whether he could or not.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that he could play and now he has to play somewhere else. He wasn't sure he could physically play.
George, what happened was is that when he was cut, people said that's because he wants to retire. And what you heard in that cut was someone who didn't want to retire, who wanted the opportunity to compete for a job and go to camp as a member of the New England Patriots.
Well, I didn't hear anybody say he wants to retire, Curtis. I heard people say it was anticipated that he could possibly retire.
No.
That's what I heard.
Well, that's what
that's
I'm reacting
what I
to.
I heard. Yeah, so...
All right, George, thank you.
Thanks,
George.
Take care, all.
Yeah. George, thank you again to you and your buddies for sending those Pokemon cards. I appreciate it.
Correction, it's Buddy... George and his buddy, and the buddy is imaginative. What's the word I'm looking for?
Imaginary.
If you're going to take a shot, like at least get it right.
Imaginary, yes. Let's see. This is Gene from, I don't know, where are you from, Gene? Sudfield?
Smithfield, Rhode Island.
Jackson wrote Sudfield.
Well, that's because he's got suds right now.
Nate Sudfeld in the chat.
Hello, Rhode Island. What's
Smithfield.
Up? What's up,
How
team?
You doing? I still write out my checks and mail in my bills.
Wow.
That's okay.
No, that's not okay. He's definitely... Who's writing checks? Is he writing checks at the grocery store too, Gene?
No. At the grocery store, I use cash. No debit card.
Balancing a checkbook to me is so crazy. Because, Gene, when you send in your checks, then the person's not receiving it for 3 days at least,
right.
And then they have to deposit it.
Right.
So that money's still in your account.
Right.
So you really have to depend on you balancing everything.
Right.
Yes. It's a crazy
concept. Yeah, that's no problem.
Courtney does not want to live in a time where you could not spend more than you had in your bank account. That's her problem.
It's the instant.
I don't do that. No credit card debt here. Girl has a good credit score.
I don't like using the card over the internet because somebody will get my numbers.
That is a boomer take through and through. Wow.
Yeah.
That's usually very secure.
Yeah. I can't pay my bills. If I pay my bills online, then next thing I know, somebody's buying a pocketbook.
Some people like to do it that way.
I didn't think people still use checkbooks.
Are people who still use checkbooks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think I even have a checkbook.
I don't have one.
I saw a story that went viral last week about a guy who got divorced and got remarried, and he got checks printed. You know how you can get checks printed that have photos on them?
Mm-hmm.
He specifically got a checkbook printed, and it had the photo of him and his new wife so that he could write his alimony check out to the old wife.
That's savage. That's savage.
Absolutely savage.
Yeah.
But why not? Right.
Do what George Costanza, always put the wrong date in the check if you feel like you don't have the money.
And to be clear, Curtis, when we were talking about David Andrews earlier during They Said It, I think you and I agree. When it comes to veteran leadership and a guy who has played the position, which is a very important position anyway, but also when you have a relatively new-to-the-league quarterback, you are just questioning why you wouldn't give him a shot, regardless of what the money is or what. Like, why don't you give David Andrews a chance?
How many times on Monday the last 2 years where the team went 8-26 did we sit here and say to each other, wow, David Andrews, despite that disaster, who got injured in the first quarter but came back in the third, finished the game, and who was the first person at the podium to answer questions about another loss? It was David Andrews.
Yeah.
In my view, he earned the right to try and get his job back. Devin McCourty, not Chris Curtis, told Karen Garigian the other day that he would have brought him in, if for no other reason, that he's there through camp as a guy that is a leader, a bridge guy that can work with Mike Vrabel and get the people that are the true Patriots on the team and weed out the ones that aren't ready to work.
Because it tells us that they feel like he can't play no more or he's not good, and that the kid, Garrett Bradbury, is a better option than him. And so why take reps away from the guy that we want playing, is the guy that we just signed to a 2-year deal, take reps away from him and Drake May working to build that relationship, mm-hmm. to give him to David Andrews when we ultimately know we're going to cut him in training camp? And also, why, and people got to understand from the world of a player, why keep me around until camp to cut me when I'd rather you, even though I don't like it, you cut me now, and then I can sign on and get with a team who might be like, oh, you know what? We're looking to draft a center to stop for us. But guess what? Now David Andrews is on the market.
Yeah.
So it gives him more opportunities to be out there. Because when he says in the podcast that what'd he say he was?
Fired.
No, he was upset about it.
Sean, grab the audio if you could for Wiggy, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, you don't you have to respect it, but you don't always have to like
it. No, that's the truth. Like, if you're a competitor,
that's the hardest part.
If you're a competitor, you're not like great. You know, like this is all like, you know, no one wants to get fired, even in the real world. Like, and
that's right.
You know, but yeah, you know, I definitely respect their decision. You know, do I like it? No. You know, I mean, I think, like I said, I think I could provide value, and you know, I was, you know, hoping that I could try to play, and you know, like I said, you know, just trying to get the ship in the right direction and, you know, help the organization.
So, do I like it? No, that's telling me he still wants to play.
Yeah.
Courtney and she made a great point off air. What was you were saying?
Well, I was saying that I believe that David Andrews has earned the right that the Crafts could sit down with him and say, hey, this is what the program is thinking, the franchise is thinking. And then if he says, well, I'm thinking about retiring, they give him the option to retire without them cutting him.
Yeah.
Because then you go out where you retire a Patriot. It's not like you got fired, in his words.
Well, it was weird that Robert Kraft went out of his way to say we are planning on... You fired him.
Right.
Which
right.
is fine. You did it for cap reasons. Meanwhile, you have $90 million to spend cap-wise, but whatever. But then you go out of your way to say we're planning on a big ceremony because he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Right.
It's like you just fired the dude.
Right.
And it's pretty and crappy.
Because he knows he still
wants. He's not happy with it.
They know he still wants to play.
So then why do all that pomp and circumstance nonsense? David Andrews wasn't happy about it. Once again, Robert Kraft is more concerned about what people write about him than what the team does.
So they do that to save face where, hey, like Courtney said, I guarantee you he sat down with them and had a conversation, and he's like, listen, I still want to play. And they said,
well, he says he wants to try to play. He did fail the physical.
All right, I want to try to play. And then they go, well, we're going in a different direction. And rather than him go, okay, I'm going to retire, and we come to this, he says, no, I still want to play. And their way of saving faces, we cut him, but when he does decide to hang it up, we're going to do this giant ceremony.
But don't you think, Wiggy, that they did that and they allowed the retirement stuff to marinate for a week because it made them look better? Like, if they were direct and honest from the beginning that they cut him after he wasn't ready to play, then it's a different conversation.
Any chance that they still bring him back, though?
No,
because they signed that kid from the Vikings.
Garrett Bradbury.
Yeah, they signed him. So that's the guy that they want to be there.
This is Jim from Upton. What's up, Jim?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Yeah, historical reference. You may recall that Bill Belichick brought both Teddy Bruschi and Troy Brown to camp, even though kind of everybody knew they were ending their careers, but they got to participate in camp. And we never even knew Brown wasn't playing until, like, at the end of the season. They just never said anything.
Yeah,
but he kept them both, you know?
I would look into the Teddy Bruschi history of when he hired the agent before we give, and that's more Kraft than Bill, I think, but they tried to mess around with Bruschi, a guy that did everything for the organization, so...
And Texter says this is all Vrabel's call, so be clear about it.
Yeah. Vrabel made the decision, like, we're going in a different direction with David Andrews, and, you know, David is... You know, trying to figure out, like, he's leaning towards, like, I want to try and play. Can I still do it? I don't know, but at least I want to try. Where he's not leaning towards, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to retire.
This is Ryan from Manchester, New Hampshire. What's up, Ryan?
Yeah, I find it kind of ironic. I mean, listen, this is business, not personal. You're talking about a guy, no one's saying he's not a good guy, has missed two of the last 4 years, basically. And everybody prayed for Mike Vrabel to come in here, and they wanted the Krafts to relinquish control of the roster. And you guys are sitting here micromanaging, saying the Krafts should have got involved just because to respect the guy over a center. Nah. Let the guy build his team. They brought in enough leadership. They don't need a center that has missed two of the last 4 years.
What are you talking about? He's played in 17-14, 17-16, right. 14-15, 14 games. Where's the other year, Ryan?
Yeah, it was just last year.
Wasn't he the blood clot guy?
No.
No, that's Barmore.
Yeah.
Well, he did. He had.
No.
He had a blood clot thing. That was a couple seasons ago, I think.
But he's played more than 12 games every season of his career. Yes.
That was 2019.
You want Johnny Kraft to call up Mike Vrabel
Ryan, you just said he missed two of the last 3 years. You're wrong.
That was 2019 when he didn't play.
He's had some issues with that, and he's an older guy who's not guaranteed to play. Just stop micromanaging. You just had a guy in here that cost you the number one pick, and you wanted nothing to do with him anymore. You're bringing a guy to run the franchise, and you're saying, you're giving him, Courtney, come on now. You wanted Kraft to call him and say, Mike, I know I just hired you last week, but I'm really questioning your decision.
Okay. I mean, if you want to say he's gone, but don't say he's not reliable. He certainly is.
He's definitely reliable. I don't mind what they did because that is part of the business. I know you don't like it, but it really is. You have to look at it. If you're trying to play, it is a benefit for you as the player to be out there early. You might not like the decision,
right?
But it is a benefit for you rather than them going, listen, Vrabel going, all right, I could bring you to camp. Make
but
you do all
what's
the stuff.
Happen.
No, and I'm going to cut you anyways.
All right. Well, as we have been discussing all morning, one positive, I guess, Steph Diggs in the building yesterday. And you could talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
What was your take on David Andrews' release? It seems like the Patriots took a really weak spot of their team and made it weaker.
I think a lot of folks are looking at it as a little bit heartless and cold the way they did that with a player who has been so good for them. And, you know, the guy who would weekly stand up and take the slings and arrows after disappointing losses. I kind of looked at it like this, and this might not have been what David wanted to happen. David, I think, would have been amenable to coming in and saying, I'll earn my spot. I want to try and come back here, and I'm not going to go play someplace else. But I think the Patriots had in their minds kind of moved on in that position and said, you know what, we're going to get younger. We're going to get better at that position. David's 33, and we're not sure when he's going to be available. We got to fix it now. So instead of leading him on, they moved on. And I think that there would have been danger in bringing him back, unless David was able to say, look, I'm not asking for a free ride in here. If I'm playing second team or third team throughout the summer and you move on, then you move on. I understand their logic. If you're going to move on, and you know it, then the right thing to do is not to drag him along through the offseason. But I can see how it would be surprising or eye-widening for him and painful.
That was Tommy Curran yesterday here on Jones and Keefe on a Tommy Tuesday. If you missed any of it, you can check it out. Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. That way you won't miss anything at WEEI, whether it's Jones and Keefe, whether it's WEEI Afternoons, Arcand at Night, or the Greg Hill Show in the morning. Get that on your phone. So Curran was discussing David Andrews there. He went on to say he's unsure if Andrews is going to continue to play. He's kind of gone radio silent. But we were all perplexed when the Patriots released David Andrews on the morning of their dumb press conference the other week. Like the day of all this news.
Look at all these new guys.
After they make all these signings and Robert Kraft comes out and takes all this credit for it. For spending for the first time in years,
right.
They released David Andrews. And we're like, well, what's going on there?
And if you listen to this program, we actually were all over what the next step was going to be. Chad
Kraft.
Graf.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, the guy's got a good source.
He's plugged in.
The man is way ahead of the curve on this. I've actually heard a lot of people giving Reese credit. Reese wrote about Garrett Bradbury over the weekend, who the Patriots signed yesterday to replace, we think, David Andrews.
Sure.
A lot of people have credited Reese for writing about this long before it happened over the weekend. Graf mentioned it way before that, in the middle of last week. So he's got a good... The man's plugged in.
I would say so.
The man's got a good source. He was the first one I saw to float the name Garrett Bradbury. Reese was ahead of the curve as well. He is going to be your David Andrews replacement. And we talked about him before. Bunch of starts in Minnesota. Former first-round pick. Kind of sounds good on the surface, right?
Well... Yeah, but why is Minnesota getting rid of him?
Great question.
Yeah.
Well, they signed Ryan Kelly, who's...
Right, so they upgraded the position.
A pro bowler and an all-pro. And
Jones,
yes, they upgraded
the
position.
Phrase,
yes.
One man's trash is another man's treasure. And in this case, Garrett Bradbury would be the Patriots' treasure, as he will be the center. They did get younger. That was one of the things that Tom Curran said yesterday. 23. I think he'll be 30 for the upcoming season. So not like way younger, but he's been in the league for 6 years. So that one's almost like, of all the moves they've made, I guess that one's kind of a wash. Like, you went into the year with a ton of needs. You tried to address as many as you could in free agency. You, some for some reason, created another need, but then immediately filled it. So you're like, all right, fine. Andrew's gone. I think he'll be missed. He's one of the more well-liked guys on the team. He's been a part of good teams, which is a long time ago.
Yeah.
But he was on those teams. And, you know, good personality, captain, all that stuff. But... they felt the need to swap him out, and in comes Garrett Bradbury.
It is interesting. All this emphasis on leadership and a good locker room and culture, and they kick him to the curb. Now, maybe he's cooked. Like, maybe there's nothing left in the tank. Twitch chat is talking about his shoulder injuries and how he's not going to come back from it, and maybe he'll retire. Well, and if he does, that'll make more sense. If Andrews latches on with another team, this is still going to piss me off. So TBD on that. But let's get into Garrett Bradbury. What are the Patriots getting?
All right.
Reese tweeted this out yesterday. Opinion/analysis.
Hoss of the Week candidate?
Ooh.
Hoss of the Week
good
candidate.
Good suggestion,
welcome
Keith.
To New England.
I was thinking, well, there's a guy.
Who you got? You got a guy?
There's a guy who shoots underhand free throws in the tournament.
Oh, that guy.
Maybe.
That guy is a Hoss.
Maybe we want to toss out a Hoss.
I said candidate. I didn't give
it to
him.
No, it's a good point. Yeah, Garrett Bradbury, you're new to New England.
You're in the mix.
Your trophy's not in the mail yet.
No.
Okay, don't jump the gun on that.
No.
We still have work to do on that.
A good chance, though.
But Reese did a 3-game study on Horse of the Week nominee, Hoss of the Week nominee.
Horse of the Week?
I'm sorry. Hoss of the Week nominee. Garrett Bradbury from 2004. Week 1 against the Giants, Week 8 against the Rams, Week 17 against the Packers. So beginning, middle, and end of the year. And he said he would compare his game to former Patriots center Ryan Wendell.
Great.
Not a big body at the position. 6'3", 300.
When you think Patriots centers of the last 20 years, don't you immediately think Andrews and Copen?
Power rank them. Yeah. Andrews, Copen.
Flip them either way you want.
Dave, Copen, Dave
sleeping
Wallabaugh.
Sleeping on Stork.
Ooh, sleeping on Stork, yeah.
Brian Stork. That's
Brian
champion.
Stork. The
You're
Stork.
Right. When we said the other day, I
bringing babies.
I misspoke that David Andrews had 3 Super Bowls. Stork was one of them. You're right.
Stork had a Super Bowl.
Dave Wallabaugh. Do not sleep on Dave Wallabaugh.
I'm fast asleep.
Yeah,
I
think
Stork really... because that was the Audit Cincinnati season, right? And then Stork came in and was one of the reasons why they, like, fixed the offensive line.
Yep.
If you go back.
But then
so Ryan
the following year, he had, like, a tell with his snap. And Denver was just, like, timing everything out and teeing off on Brady in that AFC title game.
Oh, it ended poorly. He burned hot, though.
Yeah.
And then the Stork.
Look, he's on the center power rings of the last 3 decades.
Mount Rushmore, Pat centers.
I think I just named all the ones I could. I don't think there's any more.
Copen, Stork. Andrews, Wendell.
I was going, you're sleeping on Wallabaugh over there.
Damian Woody.
Ooh, good one.
Dude, Damian Woody was great. Gotta go Woody.
He wasn't the center on that team in Oakland.
I thought he was.
I thought he kicked a guard.
Oh, he moved guard, but
I
then he played center again, didn't he?
Good question.
Get Damian Woody on the line.
We're going to have to get to the bottom of this. Wiggy?
He's working right now.
Yeah, he probably is.
He moves well, just
center.
Like
he was a center, I think, through 2002, and then he played guard
then
for
he
a year,
kicked a
and
guard?
Then Detroit paid him a big guard contract.
That's what it was.
But yeah,
Woody's on there. Woody's on
not
there.
Not even top 5 guard.
Yeah, no, he's not.
But he's the comp for Garrett Bradbury.
Ryan Wendell's like the third best center they had with a W last name.
True.
Moves well, smart, effective shotgun snapper.
Well, that's important.
An assignment sound. Yeah, if you're not an effective shotgun snapper.
Well, we've seen what that looks like at
maybe
times.
Don't play center.
Who was the guy last year? So last year they had like four different centers,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
It wasn't one of, who was the guy? He was not a great shotgun snapper.
Ben Brown? Something Brown?
No, it might have been the guy before. Who was the guy that, I don't remember. They all run together. I think it was like the guy who immediately replaced Andrews was snapping all over the place.
I already forgot.
Yeah, okay.
He can be overpowered at times by bigger defensive tackles.
Awesome.
Oh, okay, great.
Good signing.
He's undersized. He's like Ryan Wendell. And he can be overpowered. Good shotgun snapper, though. Well, Giardi had this.
Garrett how's his shotgun accuracy versus his shotgun power?
Garrett Bradbury will be cut by Minnesota if no trade partner is found. This is before he was even released, never mind signed. He cited a stat from Nate Tice. He gave up the highest one-on-one pressure rate of all centers in the league.
Great.
A whopping 12.7%. The Vikings signed former Colt Ryan Kelly to push Bradbury out the door.
So
this is your David Andrews solution.
So not that that makes
better
you...
than Lasitas Smith. That's who Keith's thinking of.
Lasitas Smith.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't remember. That's a made-up Madden
player.
Played
8 games last year, though.
8 games?
That's not a real player.
So that Bradbury... So I'm not saying the pressure rate makes you the worst center in the league, but he was the worst at that.
Okay.
So as far as protecting the quarterback on pass... downs. Maybe he's a great run blocker. They didn't really get into that.
No,
maybe he's a road grader.
He gives a good shotgun snap and then just gets bowled over.
How is he on the tush push?
He's too focused on the snap, I think.
Can he tush push?
I don't know. Good question.
I don't know if they want to do that either. Can he pull? Remember, Jason Kelce would be a pulling center, which you don't see very often.
No.
Maybe he pulls. I don't know. He sounds underwhelming, I'll be honest.
Here's what I don't
sort of like throw him on the pile.
You shove out one of your team leaders in David Andrews. Maybe he's cooked. And you bring in Garrett Bradbury, and this is the best you can
do. The Vikings were like, we need to upgrade the center spot.
All right, fine. I mean, I guess I can wrap my head around that. Where's the left tackle again? It's a very backwards way to fill out your offensive line. It's, you know, like right to left.
Yeah.
And fill in left tackle last. When there aren't any clear-cut left tackles in the draft, don't give me Will Campbell. Don't give me Banks. Don't give me any of those guys.
People like Will Campbell.
Memba was a right tackle. Memba. Like, none of these guys are clear-cut left tackles. So where are you getting your left tackle from again?
Not sure.
Seems to be a problem.
The left tackle store?
And you have an undersized center replacing a team leader who apparently doesn't protect very well when pressured by larger defensive tackles.
No.
Great.
Sign me up.
Good offseason.
So the offensive line right now would be TBD.
Yep.
Left tackle.
Yep.
Not ideal.
No.
Left guard. Layden Robinson.
Cole probably. Strange.
Cole Strange.
Definitely
so
not.
TBD.
Layden Robinson.
Robinson.
Layden Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett Bradbury. Mike Onwenu. Morgan Moses.
Yeah.
So the right, you have a NFL right side of the line.
It's like
I guess.
The Red Sox rotation. 60%. Check, check, check.
Citrick may get a left-handed quarterback and you're good.
That's a good point.
Oh, yeah. Blindside would be protected at that point. Yeah. Trade May for Tua.
It's Mike Vick up to.
Mike Penix?
Bring him out of retirement.
Welcome in to WEEI Afternoons on a Tuesday afternoon in our beautiful Brighton studios, powered by Verizon. Andy Hart here, Nick Fitzy Stevens dancing himself around his microphone, doing the robot. That was Tom Curran on Jones and Keefe earlier today. And one might ask, if one doesn't pay attention, why was Jones and Keefe talking to Tom Curran about Tom Brady? And why are we leading off our show talking about Tom Brady's departure? Well, because 5 years ago yesterday, 5 years ago this week, was the beginning of the end, and we just didn't really know how bad it would get. For your New England Patriots, Tom Brady walked out that door, and since then, well, Tom Curran used the word disastrous. And maybe a little bit strong, maybe just a smidge strong disastrous, but it hasn't been great. The Patriots have not been able to get any traction on a retool, rebuild. Belichick, Mayo, Vrabel, Newton, Mac Jones, Drake May, Jacoby Brissett, the quarterbacks have changed, the coaches have changed, the results have not been good, and we're asking why, quite honestly, to start this show. Why have the Patriots struggled so badly in the post-Brady era? And now we know the obvious. To start it, well, you didn't have Tom Brady. Tom Brady left, so you're going to go down a little bit. Well, but it's been 5 years. 5 years, kind of a long time, Fitzy. And we're not even really sure where we're at in the rebuild process. If you have jump-started it with Drake May, are we building false confidence yet again in a young quarterback who we liked as a rookie, but we don't know what he's going to be moving forward? Another coach, another plan, the power structure that Ted loves to talk about, all of those things are still coming to fruition before our eyes, and we're bitching about the offseason. We're bitching about failure to fill holes and maybe being disappointed and all those things. So let's start first, Fitzy, with a simple question that came to my head when thinking about this topic on the drive-in. Did Tom Brady leave or was he pushed out the door?
Tom Brady ultimately left, but he felt unwanted, which is what made him decide to leave. He wasn't pushed out the door. He could have come back. He could have come back for way less than he was worth. He could have come back for less than market. He could have come back for a disrespectful amount of money. So if you want to say that that's him being pushed out the door, you can. He wasn't literally not offered a contract, pardon my double negative. They want. Remember, there was a whole thing like, oh, you can't spend this much over the cap. And
percentages and blah, blah, blah.
The quarterback can't be this much next year, and these are our percentages. So it's like he was, but he technically wasn't. Now, that being said, if any of us were him and had done half of what he did at that point in his life and he was being offered what he was offered, why in the hell wouldn't he have left? I think it's one of the, for people like myself that were so shocked that Brady left, that felt hurt or betrayed that he would actually tuck tail and turn around and take his talents to Tampa Bay or anybody else, I think one of the most shameful things is that we didn't just unapologetically stand behind him and rather took mantle with the franchise. I'm born a Pats fan, I'll die a Pats fan. Yes, but who made being a Patriots fan more important, more prescient, more relevant, and more fun than anyone else in history? That's Tom Brady.
And oh, wait. That, yeah.
Yes. Ray Crittenden was actually the answer I was looking
Kevin
for.
Kevin Turner would get a lot of votes from Andy Hart, a young Andy Hart, as would Andre Tippett. Ross, but I get your point.
Ross Ventrone.
Bubba.
Yeah. So, you know, it's still 5 years later. It's tragic the way that it all ultimately ended. And it didn't have to end this way. Now, to the point of it's been a disaster for 5 years. Things have been a mess and they've been caught in kind of a stink spiral, if you want to put it that way, since this is family radio in the afternoons on the public airwaves.
Is that sort of like a blank storm?
It's like a blank storm, exactly. Yes.
Stink spiral. That's a nice way to clean it up for the kids at two. You're riding home from school in the back seat of the car.
My younger ones have a half day today, so you never know who's got the Odyssey app on in the house, in the car, wherever. So this, why has it been such a stink spiral? Because the team has not chosen like a course. There has been no true direction. First, it was reacting to Brady leaving and, we'll be fine. It's the COVID year. We'll grab Cam Newton in June. This will all work out. Nope. Next year, it was Mac Jones. We're not really sure we like the kid. He's kind of a whiny sot. So we'll try to get rid of him the next year. And then Belichick's warring with the front office, and they can't figure out what they're doing and why they have who they have on the roster. And then last year with the Gerard Mayo, oh my God, what a mess that was. Now, finally, maybe, just maybe, ownership will back up, keep their hands off of as much as they can. We'll see about that. And let Mike Vrabel build a new tone and culture. And I think this goes part and parcel with everything we've seen, from certain veterans walking out the door to the way Vrabel has been front and center of this entire offseason.
So I compare it to this, because I think there is one base reason, not base person, but base reason why it's been disastrous for 5 years. And there are a few things in parenting that hold true from preschool through high school. But one thing you can always stick with, because I remember every preschool teacher saying this to little kids, make good decisions. Did we make good decisions today? Make good decisions. And that holds true to a teenager.
Is that a red choice or a green choice?
Absolutely. And that holds true for teenagers when you hand them car keys and they're like, I'm going out with the boys tonight. How about we make good decisions, just like in preschool, right? The Patriots made some of the worst decisions consistently you could ever make. And they were made by lots of smart, capable, successful people. There is no one person necessarily that made every decision that led us through this, what was it, spiral of stink?
Over stink the last spiral.
Stink spiral. Stink bug spiral, because it's almost stink bug season here in the Northeast, which I love. Love having those weird little bugs in my house, and I squish them, and then they smell funny. It's a stink spiral for the Patriots that was rooted in bad decisions. And Belichick made them. Kraft made them.
Mm-hmm.
Mayo made them. Wolf made them.
Everybody's made them.
Jonathan made them.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. Everybody's invited. I would even throw in, you know, Matt Patricia made him and you know.
You could say Bill O'Brien made him by deciding to come back.
Sure. It was 5 years.
He ended up someplace great, and he's where he belongs. He's like the only one who came out of this actually without any of the stink spiral stank.
A.K.A. Fitzy remembered, hey, Billy O could be listening. He's right down the street. I'm going to spin that positive for Billy O, our listener on RP1.
You suss that out like a true detective.
So I don't often go to the poll in the first segment here. I try to save the poll for later, but I'm bringing out the poll in the first segment because it's relevant. So I said this. Since Brady left, the team has struggled to find any real direction or success. That would be the stink spiral you're talking about. Who is most to blame for the half decade of struggles? And there's two options. You may be able to guess them. One is Bill Belichick.
Robert Kraft. Bill Belichick.
One is Robert Kraft. And I did allow for other with the old reply with a name kind of option if you think somebody else is involved. Because every once in a while, somebody will throw a curveball option other than Belichick and
Kraft.
Hey,
did we get any votes? Because people continue to tell us that...
The media.
Yeah, the media. You fan media people. You drove Belichick out of here.
I didn't drive anything. And if I did, he's weaker than I thought he was. If I was capable of driving him out of town,
single thing you wrote or video I made.
Thank
you. Get out of here.
Thank you very much. But would you like to predict? I know you love to predict the results of the poll, and this has gotten a crap ton. A very official measuring on Twitter polls.
Do you know?
Response.
Actually, Andy. Side note: I was today years old when I learned that buttload is actually buttload, a term of measurement.
Is it something to do with a gun? The butt.
No,
the gun?
It is actually 122 gallons.
What the hell does that mean? That's a big butt.
That's
a big old butt.
And I cannot lie.
Either 122 or 126 gallons.
Oh,
anyway, so if you ever want to say, like, I'm gonna go home and drink a buttload of beer, you better be ready
I'll
to
die.
Drink.
Now, how does that equate to a crap ton?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Dan Ball, producer extraordinaire. We'll have to we'll see if we can endeavor that by 6 p.m.
So gotcha. I did not drink a buttload of green beer last night. I just had a couple, and they made their way through the system because it's no longer St. Patrick's Day. So, Fitzy.
I got a guess. Ready?
Yeah.
Kraft, 61. Belichick, 39.
Okay, so you're a little bit more balanced than the actual voting itself. 65% of the vote, over 800-plus votes are in already, say that Robert Kraft is to blame for the half decade of struggles, and 34% say Bill Belichick is to blame.
That's a two-thirds, one-third. That's pretty significant. And I feel like, Andy, a lot of the reaction or reactionary moves that were made this offseason, not even waiting until the locker room had been fumigated after the final game, the game that they never should have won in the first place, to get rid of Mayo. I think it's because they realize that's how the fans feel, that they had gone from trying to position history so that Belichick took a lot of blame to, oh, wait a second, now we've become the bad guy. You know, hey, Elliot, go butcher that Dark Knight reference on the podium because it's not working out for us.
Did you know I'm being attacked by PETA on the text line? Andy, how hard is it to just throw the stink bug outside? Jesus, have a heart, you bleeping donkey. Because I killed a stink bug? That's heartless? Mm-hmm. It is probably kind of heartless, but I don't know.
I mean, I got kids, and they, you know, one of them actually wants to grow up and work for the Audubon Society, so I can't kill bugs.
I just assume if I let the stink bug live, he's going to have other little stink bugs, and they'll be back in the house. They know the neighborhood. They know how to get in, and then they'll be overrun with stink bugs.
Yeah, no, I can't. That's the thing. So I have to, like, capture all of them in, like, little mason jars and bring them outside. There you go, kids. There he is. And then
this is a swimming stink bug. We're going to put him in the toilet and flush him to freedom. Flush. See you, stink bug.
Stink bugs are no bueno.
So I have always believed. So if we believe that Brady's departure was the start of the five-year spiral.
It most definitely. Well, you could say it really began when Edelman dropped that pass with 4.5 minutes left against the Titans.
Well, you could say it really began when Bill forgot how to draft, but that's a little
Actually,
more vague.
Do we want to blame it on Dominic Easley? Do we want to blame it on
Bill picked them all. Not their fault. All they did was like Matt Patricia. They said yes.
What about Antonio Garcia? How's he doing these
days? No, it's all Bill Belichick. So you could probably track it back to Bill Belichick's struggles in drafting, but the day people will remember is the day that he forced/allowed Tom Brady to leave. But I still to this day say, by Robert Kraft allowing Bill Belichick to make that decision, he made a decision, right? So that's on ownership. It always goes back to ownership when you're talking about these big decisions. And therefore, I think I would vote with the listeners. I think I would vote Robert Kraft because I would also include Gerard Mayo. Whatever you thought was happening there, there was a horrific decision that set this team back a couple years. And then you include the spending, which, I'm sorry, when it's multiple coaches and multiple GMs and multiple years and the spending stays the same, don't you assume it's ownership that's controlling the spending?
Mm-hmm.
I've been hesitant to this. I always thought Bill was as big a part of the limitation on spending as Robert was because I thought he was the Wesleyan economics major who believed everybody, you know, keeping salaries down, strong middle class, all these things. Now, I don't know. Bill's been gone for a while and the spending is still suspect. So I feel like you have to go one more higher on the organizational depth chart. But 617-779-7937. 5 years ago this week, Tom Brady left. And since then, well, the Patriots have not been all that fun. They've not been all that successful. Losing seasons, losing the division, high draft picks, multiple coaches, multiple quarterbacks. Who do you blame for that? Is it Robert Kraft? Is it Bill Belichick? Could you blame Tom Brady himself? If he had stayed, Fitzy, would it have worked out differently? Would there have been more success, or would it have just been a slower death for the dynasty? Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Robert Kraft, and that triumphant triumvirate. There's plenty of questions to ask, plenty of answers to be had. 617-779-7937. Join us and let us know what you think. We will also talk a little bit about Mock Draft Monday, but on a Tuesday, stealing the idea from Jones and Keefe. Lots of new mock drafts out there. Lots of interesting options for your Patriots. But we're taking your calls next. The dynasty died 5 years ago this week. Why is it still dead? Why has nothing grown in its place? Why do they continue to seek success and yet not find it? 617-779-7937. But first, we got to get to Dan Ball with what's trending.